How good is Christmas season? Two people said it's good. All right, okay. I understand. Because the credit card is getting a workout. Or maybe because the wallet has, you know, it's Christmas season, means that the wallet has to open, all of a sudden moths. No. There's something about Christmas. There's something about coming to the end of the year where you relax and that you enjoy and that you celebrate. But I really believe Christmas season is more than just gifts. Come on, can I hear an amen this morning? But it's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your heart that will change your life so that you can walk differently in Jesus' name. And let that be a prophetic word for you this morning, that the Holy Spirit is going to download a greater touch of His presence in your life so you can live differently in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. There is something about the presence of God that will change your life. Matthew 16, Jesus is posing a question to His disciples. And I don't know about you, but when questions were asked of me in school, it's generally because I wasn't paying attention. Nobody here, I know. You guys are like A1 students. But some of us in school, we just had the look of paying attention, but our minds were somewhere else. Who knows what I'm talking about today? And Jesus, in Matthew 16, is having a chat to some people and He's asking His disciples a question, not because it was about comprehension, but rather it was to see where these disciples, when they were following Him, did they have a revelation? Did they have an understanding? And out of that revelation and understanding, Jesus could predict where their life was going to go. In your life, you need to understand is that having a revelation of Christ in your life, a personal revelation of Christ, and an understanding of God will change your life. You need two things. Someone say two things. You need the Word of God, where you study the Word, you understand the Word, you hear the Word, but you also need this thing called a relationship. You cannot have one without the other. Come on. Because it's like, think about this, if a train having two tracks, if there was one track that was going to be removed, what would happen to the train? It would derail. And some of us today never get to a place where your life is derailing because you've removed either relationship, time, or the Word of God. You need both. Someone say both. You need both. Because when you have relationship and you have Word, one brings correction, one brings encouragement. When you have both, it keeps you steady, it keeps you moving forward, and things run smoothly in Jesus' name. You can't be someone that says, oh, but James, I've just got all relationship, I just spend time in the Word, I just spend time with Jesus, and I'm hearing His voice, and all of that sort of stuff, and it is great, and it's amazing, and it's fantastic, but you have no Word. It just doesn't work that way. You need to have both. You need to have both operating in your life. So when Jesus was asking this question, he was not doing a comprehension test on His disciples. He was trying to get a gauge of where their relationship, intimacy was with God, but also to see if they had an understanding of who and what they were following. And I'll put it to us this morning that when we read the Word of God and you're studying and you're spending time with the Holy Spirit, He begins to, you know, bring questions into your life. Can I tell you, do not whinge at the questions. Come on. Do not whinge at the questions when the Holy Spirit, you know, you're reading something and the Holy Spirit goes, how are you doing in that area? None of us, when we're driving, actually, the other day, my wife handed back my car to me with... And on the dashboard, it said, distance to empty, 25 kilometers. I know, there are people in this house that say, you live by faith and not by sight. Like, you take the Word of God really literal and you just go, oh, Jesus. You do not whinge, you do not curse the dashboard when the fuel light comes on. What do? You go to the station and put fuel in it. Because if you don't put fuel in it, what happens to the car? You'll find out if you're going to be walking. That's not a good thing. Some of us in our lives are whinging when God puts the flashlight of the fuel light on your life, on your radar, instead of going to the station and fueling up. Can I tell you today, it's time to fuel the station. It is time to get to be filled up with the Word of God and His presence. We know that the Word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We also know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's a reminder that out of the mouth is a representation of what is happening in the heart. And it is an indication of revelation and understanding of who Christ is in our lives. Of who Christ is in our lives. Matthew 16. Come on, let's get some word happening this morning. Verse 13. Here we go. Then Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" They replied, watch the replies. "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Can you imagine Jesus in this story? How he looks at the disciples and he goes, "But what about you? Come on. What about you? Who do you say that I am?" He asked. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The question for us this morning is, who is Christ to you? Come on. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Some people recognize Jesus as a man sent by God doing good works. Some others a prophet who would speak the word of God. But Simon, he took it on a whole nother level. You see the thing about good works and speaking the word of God, they were looking at the outward appearance. They had an understanding based on what they saw. But Simon Peter, he had something a little bit more than that. He said that, what did he say? Simon got a revelation of who Jesus was and said that he was the Messiah. Today's message is called Messiah, a Revelation of Christ. In a few verses of Scripture, we see a lot of things that are happening. The people around and about were familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. They said that there will be a Messiah. But whilst they were familiar with the Word of God, they were not able to recognize the Messiah when He was in the midst. Could it be this, that these Pharisees and Sadducees, people that were so studied up of the Word of God, studied the Torah, they could recite, they could repeat, at a moment's notice they could quote. But in all of that, they did not know Him. It is a reminder that whilst education is important and memorizing Scripture, very important, study, reading books, that's great. But it should never substitute a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit who can reveal Christ in a moment. Do not substitute study for presence. Because if you do that, you will be just like the Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm a dad, so that's a dad joke. Two people got it. Anyway. It should never substitute personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, who in a moment can reveal who Christ is. Come on, let's dive into to see how getting to know Christ as the Messiah will change our lives. And the first thing we need to know is this. He is the Anointed One. Come on. He is the Anointed One. Messiah comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach, meaning the anointed or chosen one. In the Old Testament, people were anointed with oil to consecrate themselves to God for a specific role. This practice began really early, as we see in Scripture. Aaron was anointed to be high priest. The early kings like Israel, Saul and David, they were also anointed to be kings. They were anointed prophets. Were anointed. And the Messiah would be someone set apart for God, chosen for a specific purpose. You need to understand something today. Is that what you need to do what God has got you to do, God has the anointing ready and available for your life. Come on. As a parent, God has the anointing and the ability to see things for your children way in advance before even they see it. And I feel like maybe some parents need to hear this today. If the Holy Spirit puts a word in your heart for your kids, don't just sit on it. Tell your children. Come on. Pastor James, my kids are in primary school. That means for me. No, that includes parents of adult children. Come on. Now, in a sense, I know why you wouldn't say anything to your adult children, because, you know, they're grown up, you've taught them well, they should know what they're doing and they're responsible for their life. Yes and true. But hang on to this. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will drop a revelation in your heart that you need to speak over your children, and there's an anointing that is upon that. And as you declare and as you speak the word of God to your kids are better off. Why does God do that? He does it because He loves your children. Come on. Parents, you need to understand this. When you have a word for your kids, know this. He loves your kids. He loves them more than your ability to love them. So why wouldn't we be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name? We need to know that in modern Australia, there is a purpose. Someone say purpose. There is a purpose for our lives. That we are not just called to exist. That we are not just called to reproduce, to consume, or to exist, but there is a call and a plan of purpose that is upon your life. You cannot allow the plan of purposes of God to be manifested in the pastors of the church. No, they've got a call and they're responsible for what God has called them to you, but you need to know God has a call for you. He has. The question is, are we walking in the plans and the purposes of God? Well, listen carefully, are we just existing? Because existing doesn't fulfill plan and purpose, does not bring, you know, joy. But when you do the will of God and you submit to the will of God, there is something supernatural that happens. It's called the anointing of God that enables you and encourages you and pushes you forward to do everything that God's got you to be in Jesus' name. That one day we will stand before God and He will say, well done, good and faithful servants. I don't want to stand before God and God says, James, mate, you did this, but mate, you are really slack. Don't do that. We need to position ourselves where we say, God, what is it that you want for me? Can I encourage you this Christmas season, as Christ, the Messiah, was anointed and consecrated to God, let's make a decision to consecrate ourselves to God and put ourselves aside and go, God, what is it that you want me to do, and how can I outwork your plans and your purposes for my life so I can see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Isaiah 61 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because the Lord has anointed. Someone say anointed. Hey, anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release darkness for the prisoners. We understand, looking at Isaiah, that first comes the setting apart. And after the setting apart happens, that's when the anointing gets kicked into action, and the anointing flows from heaven to enable the person set apart to achieve everything that God has in Jesus' name. You need to know that God has an anointing tailored and specifically fit for you so that you can run your race and you can do everything that God's called you to do in Jesus' name. This is not just an anointing on spiritual things, because we can hear stuff like that and go, oh, it's just for spiritual. No. God wants to help you with the physical stuff as well. Come on. He wants to be part of every part of your life. Do not segment God to spiritual. He wants to do a whole lot more than that. The next thing we need to realize is that He is your deliverer. Whilst prophecies don't mention specifically the word Messiah, it's understood the references that were made to the future deliverer. These prophecies stretch back to the very beginning while speaking to the serpent who deceived Adam and Eve. And this is what God declares. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman's, and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Listen to this. It is understood that the person who will crush the serpent's head is the Messiah. Come on, I want to tell you today this, that God is able to crush things in your life that need to go in Jesus' name. There are things that need to be crushed and God will deliver. Let's know that whatever situation you face today, He's got your back. It's nothing to do with size, but all we need to do to receive the rescue that He has for us is we need to call upon the name of the Lord. Joel 2:32 says this, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Someone say saved. But what about this part of scripture? For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. Come on. Let there be a prophetic word for you today. There will be deliverance. And as the Lord has said, even among the survivors who the Lord calls. Because the Messiah has come to deliver us, we have an opportunity to be set free. Can I ask you today, what areas of your life do you need freedom in? What areas of your life, let me rephrase this, what areas of your life do you need to submit to God at a level? Because greater freedom doesn't come from fighting, it comes from surrendering. If you want to move forward in God and you want to take the enemy out, it's not going to take you using your guns. It's getting down on your knees and saying, Jesus, come and have your way. I surrender. I give this part of this situation to you and I ask that you come and that you have your way. Because in order to move forward, you need to become humbler. Come on. It's not a dog-eat-dog mentality. It's a humble yourself before Almighty God. Allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your private time. Holy Spirit, I need your ministry. I need you to heal these parts of my life that are broken, that are wrecked. I need you to come in and touch my life and heal me and set me free. And with that, maybe there are people today, you need to find someone that can do the journey with you. You know, many months ago, I was catching up with this guy, and he had a word for me, and it was this. He says, James, God is going to bring in the right people that you need to help you with what you have at hand. And many months later, you know what the amazing thing is? That's actually happened. And so let me just declare this over you today, that God is bringing the right people into your life that know what it is to see a breakthrough in that area that you are needing, and that you will see the hand of God at a greater level in your life and you'll see a breakthrough in Jesus' name. There is something about bringing the right people in. The last thing we should remember is this. Someone say He is your liberator. At the time Jesus was born, the Jewish people eagerly were waiting a deliverer. The study of prophecies and hope of a Messiah had grown since the time the Jews were exiled to Babylon. Even though they returned back to Judah, they discovered that that land was no longer theirs. In fact, it was inhabited by the Romans, and the Jews were now in oppression to Rome. The prophecies of a Messiah were known by the Jews. And when Jesus was born, wise men from the east came seeking the one who was to be born King of the Jews, whose birth was signified by a star they followed. Micah 5, verse 2, let me read it to you. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. As it turns out, Jesus was found in Bethlehem, but in many ways was not the Messiah that the Jews were expecting. Bearing in mind, the Jews were oppressed by foreigners, Rome. And, you know, you can imagine why they thought the way they thought. Maybe they were expecting someone who had a great army. Maybe they're expecting someone who could liberate them from the oppression of the Romans. Potentially, they were thinking this person had great connections and had a great status, and therefore were able to beat the Romans at their game. But instead, they saw a family in a manger. They saw people that potentially, with the naked eye, could see, hey, I can't see how this family is going to set us free. Could it be maybe how they viewed things might not have been 100%? Because their view of oppression was bashing the Romans, but God had a totally different way of doing things. Could it be that the real oppression was not the Romans, but for the oppression of sin? That maybe that's where these guys, as we look at Micah and as we understand that Christ did not just bring liberation for on the outside, but brought liberation and a freedom from the oppression of sin that holds people captive on the inside. In a world of outside appearances, and most people trying to be potentially something they're not, Christ came to bring liberation. But not on the outside, but the freedom within. John 8:34, let me read it to you. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son," someone say son, "belongs in it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." I mean, you've got a hand of praise for that. I mean, can we all just stand to our feet just for a moment? Nobody looking around, nobody moving around. Come on, if you're online as well, why don't you stand just for a moment? Can you imagine Jesus speaking to his disciples? And remember, in order to live differently, we need to have an understanding and a revelation of Christ and how he is the Messiah in our lives. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." What was Peter? What was Simon saying? This is what he was saying. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the deliverer. You are the one who is a restorer. You're a liberator. You set us free so that we can have relationship with God. Because of this revelation of who you are, Jesus, I will live differently. I cannot live differently. The way I used to live. I can't. Because I understand that Jesus, if you consecrated and you set yourself for the will of the Father, and if you could do it, you show me an example of how I can do it. Come on. that I can set myself apart for God's plans and God's purposes. When it comes to liberation, when we truly get a revelation of Jesus being the Messiah and liberating us from sin and mindsets in our life, instead of running away from God, we run to God. There are people in this house today, when you sin, you run away. Let me tell you, you don't run away from God, run to God. He is a loving Father. He loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life, and He wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that you can ask or think.